You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
Hello, yes, so welcome to Breadline.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Daryl.
Hi, Jess. How are you?
I'm pretty good on this rather sunny Monday afternoon.
Yeah.
First of all, we'd like to acknowledge that this show is coming to you from Wurundjeri land of the Kulin Nation, and their sovereignty was never ceded. And, yeah, we've got a bit lined up for you this afternoon. So we thought we'd talk a bit about the ways that the Unemployed Workers Union recommends that you break up with your job provider. That's unless you really want to go in there. As we know, it can be a rather fruitless exercise. And also, of course, we're going to be commenting on the robo-debt inquiry later on in the show. But I was going to mention something that happened to someone in my town. The fact that if you're working part-time, you have to declare your income online through MyGov. And so the system they have now is that it's auto-filled. So the amount of money that you earned is auto-filled from the ATO. So it just means that people don't have to go rushing, looking for wage slips and so on. Well, this person found that the wrong information was in there, but unfortunately they'd already submitted that information.
Well, I was just about to say, you wouldn't trust the AGO to have the right figures in there.
Well, anyway, there was a mistake, and so consequently, when the payment came up, it was deducted. You know, about $100 was deducted. So they had to basically rush down to the nearest Centrelink office to sort that out and just show the pay slips face to face to the Centrelink officer. But really, it underlines the fact that in rural areas, it's really important that you have an accessible Centrelink office, because when they actually called Centrelink, it was the, oh, hello, thank you for calling Centrelink. Bye, click.
At least they've been more honest about it now.
From what they said, there was no sort of, oh, we can call you back, or your wait time will be, which, of course, you get used to with a lot of government departments. So, yes, unfortunately.
Well, maybe that was in their cutbacks. They couldn't afford that recording anymore, so they had to delete it.
That's right. So it means that, unless you can get quickly to your Centrelink office, you aren't able to sort of correct any mistakes that could have been made, really, with not your fault, just the wrong amounts came up as what this person had earned. So,
nine times out of ten when you go to Centrelink, they'll turn around and say, oh, well, you'll have to come back and make an appointment.
Funnily enough, apparently there were quite a few people waiting, but the person was able to see someone,
Oh, lucky.
Yeah, lucky. Very lucky indeed.
Oh, that guy should buy a TATS ticket then.
You're listening to 3CR Community Radio 855 AM on digital and online. 3CR Radical Radio.
Yes, so you're listening to Breadline, the show of the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. And one of the ongoing and quite big campaigns which the union has at the moment is really the ongoing hassles that people have about their sort of compulsory attendance with the job service providers, JSPs, job centres or whatever. And as you probably, if you're a regular listener, you'd be hearing us talk about demands for pay slips, et cetera, et cetera. And so a lot of people have decided that basically the furthest away they keep from the job service provider,
the better.
And as we know, of course, all the unfair suspensions of payments that go on and so on and so on. And as the government's already had an inquiry, they said that they're not really doing what they should be doing. In fact, they're actually causing harm, but nothing has happened, of course. So the union's put out a leaflet, which isn't online yet, as far as I know, but it's how you can keep a safe distance from your provider. So we've realised is that there is actually a way that you can transfer to online services. And there are a few things that you have to comply with. But basically, if you haven't already been online in a period of 12 months, you you would be eligible to transfer to online services. So it's a bit of a rigmarole. You've got to ring the customer service line and ask to check if you're eligible to move to online. And then you have to tell the job provider that you want to move to online and ask them for a specific form, which is the referral to online form.
Can the job provider deny you that?
Well, it says, we've actually said in our leaf, if your provider refuses to give you the form or grant you the request, you can ask to speak to their manager. So if the manager denies your right to transfer, you can call the National Customer Service line, which is hopefully staffed, unlike that other line that I mentioned earlier on, and make a complaint about it. And if all goes well, then you'll be asked to agree to a new job plan with Workforce Australia Online. So then you would enjoy 12 months without having to go to any JSP appointments, and they call it self-managed online services.
Oh, yeah, that sounds great. And that will give you a lot more time to look for work, and you could concentrate on writing a good
resume.
Your resume, but they also want
Your job history and so on.
Well, that's in your resume, but they want you to write up a couple of paragraphs about yourself, I think.
So that's really that's something which again, a lot of people don't know that, but there is another option here, which is to request phone appointments only, and that's quite good if you're in a situation where your health's not that good. And we've actually got in this flyer, which you can easily get from the union, we've got a template email to make the request. I'm requesting that all future mutual obligation contact be conducted by telephone for the following reasons. Then you've got various categories you can use, like disability, circumstances, and you can actually be quite strong about it and say, I'm aware of the guidelines, and that my contact with you has to be tailored to suit my needs. Also, if you're in a disability employment service, you can include a link to the guide that says this about being tailored to your individual circumstances. So
what about rural area, like, you know, if you're more than an hour and a half drive away that should be a good reason to
have
phone interview.
Financial
also.
Cost of transport is one of the things you can bring up in your circumstances. Not to mention having to use PT to get to, you know, appointments and being late for them, and then possibly getting suspended.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
Not to mention having to use PT to get to, you know, appointments and being late for them, and then possibly getting suspended because you're late. Again, not your fault. So we've also got a list if your provider refuses to grant your request for a phone appointment, you can make this complaint as well. And, of course, number three, which you've talked about quite a bit before, Daryl, is the transfer to a different provider.
Yeah.
And you're not mad keen on that, really, are you?
Well, no, but I'm not against it either. Like, if people really want to transfer to another provider, you know, all well and good. There's just a bit of red tape in there as well.
Unfortunately, what I've just been outlining is also quite a lot of red tape, you know.
I suppose
you could always get someone to help you. And, of course, you could, if you're having trouble with it, to ring our advice line to sort of step you through
We'd certainly be glad to help you through that. Yeah, I think the only reason I don't like transferring to another provider is because of the red tape. And as I've said before, you leave one job provider and go to another one, and they could be worse.
Yeah, the devil, so, you know.
So. Yeah, exactly. And, like, I've had arguments and disagreements with my job provider, and Once they asked me, would I like to go to another job provider?
Interesting. Was that a bit rude or?
I said, no. Look, I'm happy to come here. You're close to home. You're right on top of a supermarket. I bring my shopping list with me. Mm. So it's not a total waste of trip.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, oh, well, it's just good to know if you've got sort of a major thing happening with someone who just the sight of them just freaks you right out or whatever. Yeah, it's
well,
it's good
I think the main reason, like being an active member of the union as well, I know my rights well.
Yeah.
So that helps a lot. Mm. And so this is what we're trying to achieve at the Australian Unemployed Workers Union is to make everyone aware of what their rights are. And if everyone knows what their rights are, life would be a whole lot easier.
Yep. And also to know that if you're in a situation where you feel like the only one, you're probably not the only one going through that.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I get heaps of calls about that exact problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, hopefully that's a bit of useful info. But, of course, ring the union 1-800-289-848 10 till 2 for advice if you do want to take advantage of this breaking up with your job provider.
Or you could send us an email at auwu.org.au.
Okay, good one. Yes, so you're back with Breadline, which is, the show, the weekly show from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union.
And may I just remind everybody, if you're having problems with Centrelink or your job provider, give the Australian Unemployed Workers Union a call on 1-800-289-848 between 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday to Friday, or send us an email at auwu.org.au.
Yes. So, it's been a bit in the news this week that maybe the robo-debt saga is continuing.
Oh, that's raised its ugly head again.
Yes. There's been a bit of coverage on SBS. So it looks as if they're looking afresh into basically the independence of the earlier review.
Yeah, of the National Anti-Corruption Commission. Yeah, well, the commissioner, Mr. Brereton, turned out he had a conflict of interest.
Right.
With someone there, and because of that, they may have to open it up again. But someone on his behalf, or for him, was saying the mistake was due to a misapprehension to the extent to which a perceived conflict of interest required him to be isolated. Now, come on, you know, like a guy in a position like that, how can he not know that he's facing a conflict of interest in there, you know?
It'd be basically what your part of your job to
know
sort of,
these things. Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
It's well established in courts of law, you know, and with the corporate world that, you know, if you've got investments in something, you don't start spouting off about how great they are.
No.
But, apparently the agency had earlier decided not to investigate 6 referrals of corruption in relation to the unlawful robo-debt scheme. But now the corruption watchdog has found that, Brereton failed to properly remove himself from the decision-making process. This is the crux of the matter. So it's good that, as far as I'm concerned, the more it drags out and gets all rehashed all over again, the better, because it's a sort of message to the bureaucrats of the future who may get little brainwaves like this again.
Well,
not to do it.
Let's see what happens at the end, though. Like, you know, it could be all just smoke and mirrors, making a big deal out of it, and there'll be a big inquiry and opposition leaders, they'll put their 2 cents in. And then when it's all over and done, nothing will change.
Well, that's why I just wince every time people start saying Royal Commission, because it's usually such a waste of money, and it comes out with a huge list of recommendations, and then they just sit there and then on to the next, the next sort of a lot of people in power.
And there was a statement by the Attorney General, Mark Dreyfus. He actually thanked the inspector and said the government would continue to support the National Anti-Corruption Commission as it undertakes its important work to deter, detect and prevent corrupt conduct. Well, they didn't do too good a job during the robo-debt, did they?
No, that's right. But it's I think, yeah, well, again, all the scrutiny and all this sort of squirming that happens from the position, people in positions of power, the better, as far as I'm concerned. It doesn't bring back the lives of the people who basically, you know, took terrible actions, which, again, you know, against and went through all that sort of hardship and stress from getting those debts.
Yeah, all the stress that they caused thousands of people. And, well, you know, I'm not holding my breath that I'll eventually get my money back, and I'm absolutely sure no one else will either.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah, well, and the compensation ends up being practically nothing. So it's almost time for us to finish up.
Already? Just
It is. Remembering that... I'll call out to a friend who thought he was going to get kicked out of his unit this last week, and he's managed to get a 6-month lease out of them.
So I'm
happy for him. Yeah. And also, just a reminder also that if you're having trouble subletting, if you've lost your income, you can't afford your rent, you could get onto the Rental and Housing Union. The website there is rahu.org.au/join. So the main thing is, yeah, get together with other people, like with the union, get together with other people in a similar situation.
Yeah, they do a good job.
You'll find you're not the only one. Mm. So it's bye from Daryl and me.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.